the Danger Cast, where we talk about the culture and design of Gangplank. I'm Jade Mesko.
I'm Derek Neighbors.
I'm Trish Gillum.
And I'm Chris Lee.
So today we want to talk about what does it mean to be a leader inside of Gangplank?
Inside of Gangplank. What does it take to be a leader?
What does it mean?
Oh, what does it mean? I should say what it takes is
no,
be
to
too stupid to know that you're a leader. What does it mean? What does it mean to be a leader? I think that to what does it mean? I think it means that you are inspiring and motivating and modeling and showing the way for other people. Right? So it's equal parts doing and inspiration.
So how's that different than being a leader somewhere else?
A leader somewhere else, usually it's you adopted the title of leader because somebody gave you the title of leader.
Here you just work to make things happen. I mean, nobody's necessarily telling you what to do or giving you the authority to go do something. You just step up and start doing stuff and start making things happen.
Yeah, I guess I'd say outside Gangplank, the way kind of leadership tends to work, or that I see it in most organizations, is somebody is given the title of leader, right? And usually that title of leader is manager, director, vice president, president, CEO, you name whatever title you want to put behind that. And two things are extended via that title. One is authority, right? So you have the authority to do something, right? Usually over other people. You have the authority over other people and resources to do things. And if we don't get results, it's your fault. So you get accountability. And I think what happens is that those that report, quote unquote, to said leaders view it exactly as that. You get to lord over me, so I have no stake and no ownership in the outcome that is to be. And if anything goes wrong, it's your fault.
So that's positional authority.
Positional authority.
So we've used the term leaderless organization quite a bit, and I think that causes some confusion. So maybe reconcile that idea with what we're talking about. So Chris said there's no positional authority at Gangplank, and we've talked about the idea of being a leaderless organization. How does that actually work in practice?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they think that there's, when you say leaderless organization, I think they immediately jump to, oh man, it's just 100% chaos. Nobody's in charge. Nothing will get done. And like, you know, how do you resolve any dispute? How does anything happen because there's nobody that is quote unquote in charge? Right? Who do you go to when the shit hits the fan is what people immediately tend to think. I think when people say leaderless or organization, or we talk about it maybe in Gangplank at times, I don't think we say it as much anymore because of the problems that it causes, we really say that there's no appointed leadership, right? There's no institutional authority. It's the people that rise to the occasion, right? So they're still leaders, but they're leaders because they've gained the influence by either what they're doing, what they're inspiring, or through some form of integrity, right? Like, so the leaders exist. So I would expect if you walked into most Gangplanks and you said, like, hey, you know, how do I get this done? Or who's in charge of this? There's like some idea of somebody who you might talk to, right? Even though that person isn't necessarily the anointed leader of something, right?
That's definitely a good example, because when people come in and they ask about how they do something, there are definitely the people that we point to based on what they're interested in participating in. And it's not, again, it's not something where somebody said, hey, you're the guy to go do this, but just through their actions over time, they've just shown that they can help with things and kind of make things happen. And then we point people in those folks' direction, depending on what they're looking to participate in.
So it's a meritocracy?
Yeah, I think that's a good way. We used to call it a showpocracy, which I think there's a lot of value in that, but I think Sometimes people can just show up and not actually provide guidance, cannot provide actually doing things, and then you kind of have an entitlement problem, right? Which we've seen as well, where, you know, hey, I've been around here a long time and I show up every day, therefore I should have final say and authority in absolutely everything because I'm the oldest turd in the room.
Right.
And it's like, well, that's really great, but like, what have you done for us lately?
I think when that phrase originally was used, the idea of showing up and doing were one and the same.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think it's a difference between taking initiative and kind of the turf or ownership of, you know, sometimes people come in and they try and claim that because they've been involved with some initiative or some area that it's theirs and everyone must get permission from them. And we really go towards whoever takes the initiative. And also, it doesn't really matter what title people have given you. If you're not actually taking initiative, no one really looks at you as the leader.
Yeah.
So I think that's an interesting thing that I definitely have seen over the last 5-6 years, whatever, is there is a pattern of people that tend to want to come and participate in Gangplank. And you can substitute the word Gangplank for community. People that come into community generally want one of two things. They either want authority, right? So I want to be the whatever leader, or I want to be in charge of this. I want this thing. And what they're really saying is I want to be given institutional authority over people and things. Now, it might be a scope of things, right? Not, I don't want to be the president of whatever this community is, but like, I want to be in charge of this aspect of the community. Please anoint me and give me that title so that people are forced to do what I say and I'm entitled certain resources that are available to me, right? The other thing I tend to see is that people want possessiveness of some kind, right? Like, so they come in and they either want the authority portion of it, or they want some form of like possession, right?
Is it like exclusive domain over something?
Yeah, it's like I would almost call it power, or like maybe even it is reverence from other people. Like I want people to have to respect my authority because I am the thing, right? And what we have found is that when people come in and do that and you give them any form of leadership, it always ends poorly. It either ends poorly because they don't have the best interest of whatever they're trying to lead. It's really all about them. Or they tend to fall down very quickly because the minute that something starts to grow, and I think you see this in community, when community really blossoms, it's kind of like that hockey stick growth in a startup that it explodes so fast when it explodes that if you do anything to contain it, you actually kill it instead of really letting it go. And when you get those type of people, what happens is community starts to build itself, and that person is like trying to wrangle, but I'm the boss, right? Like, whoa, why are you using the podcast thing? You didn't check it out, and you have to go through my process before you can use that resource because I'm the podcast manager, right? And you get all of this like weird possessive-y crap that starts to happen that turns people off, and they start to go. And I think that's one of the big differences between like traditional community and say an organization that's a company, is people that show up to a company show up for a paycheck. And so they'll tolerate a whole lot of shitty leadership in exchange for a paycheck. When people come into a community and they're not getting paid, they tend to tolerate a whole lot less of that kind of behavior before they'll leave. Or before they'll just say like, yeah, I'm just not really going to engage. Like, I'm not going to give you 100% of the best me that I'm interested in because of that.
So how have we dealt with that problem?
We suck at dealing with that problem.
How should we deal with that problem?
So I think some of it is we have to get better at teaching people how to be good leaders. And what I mean by that is the world's model currently of leadership is much more of an organizational, positional, titled authority role, right? Like, I think that is the status quo when you look at most leadership programs, even if they say we're about servant leadership. Or at the end of the day, what they're really trying to do is teach you ways to manage people, right? And I think, you know, in Gangplank, it's how do we teach people how to get the best out of people, not manage people, right? Like, how do you inspire people to do really great things? How do you teach them the skills to be able to be more effective at what they do?
I think one of the big things that we've done is I used to call it picking winners, right? We were doing a lot of assigning people roles and authority, and we've really put a stop to that. And I think that while that causes a bunch of chaos in the short term, I think the long term benefits far outweigh having some of that certainty of having this person in charge. Because we used to do that a lot, right? You were in charge of this initiative, and we would ask people to take ownership of it.
Well, people are like children. They begged us for a title. Can I please? Right? And then we got stupid and said, like, well, if people are begging for a title, maybe some of these initiatives that we have that we don't have anybody that are dumb enough to be leaders for, maybe we could sucker them into being leaders by giving them a title, right? And then we found out, like, God, they turn into these possessive assholes the minute that you give them a title. Maybe this is a bad thing. But I think that is another pattern that I see, or another thing that I think is very difficult about this type of leadership style. And I'm seeing it in organizations that are for-profit businesses trying to go to a much more organic, self-motivated, autonomous type of things are, what happens when nobody's motivated to do the thing that I think is really important? So if we lay out and we say, like, hey, here are these 10 initiatives, you know, or these 7 initiatives, or these 3 initiatives, or this one big thing, or this one big program, and it's necessary to be successful in a community and be a gangplank. You know, and we need people to step into that, and you hear the crickets chirp, and nobody steps into that. What do you do, right? Like, I know what we did. We panicked and said, like, well, God, we got to sucker somebody into painting the fence like Tom Sawyer here and anoint them with, you are in charge of this thing, right? We used to do the thing of, hey, Chris, you're going to be in charge of whatever it is nobody will take until you can find somebody else to be in charge of it.
Chris knows this personally.
Right? I think that solved some short-term problems, but it created all sorts of long-term pain, right? Because either Chris really wasn't interested in it, really wasn't interested in gangplank, he wasn't doing anything for it anyways, right? And so we had this, like, false sense of somebody was taking care of it, and it wasn't. Or if he didn't and he did it, then it got drunk with the power of, oh, muhaha, I am now the overlord czar of this thing, and I start to do all sorts
of... He rules that calendar with an iron fist.
He did do all sorts of stupid stuff, right? And so I think that's a hard thing to do, is, like, you know, how do you inspire people to fill the holes that an organization has, right?
So what are some of the challenges that you guys have seen?
I think one of the challenges, I mean, it's scary to be a leader, right? Like, that trade-off when you have a manager is you agreed to put up with their crap because they deal with the blame.
I think it's really scary to choose to be that leader.
Right.
Because it's your fault.
Yeah.
I think one of the other challenges is that we still have holes that nobody's stepped up to fill, you know? So I remember the old days when, you know, people got appointed, we had all the different initiatives, and then you at least had someone in name that was supposed to be working on something. And since that doesn't happen anymore, you have some people that are passionate about the initiative that they're working on and that are actively moving it forward, where we have other initiatives that really not much happens because there's nobody, you know, driving that. And I think some of those things are things that are important to Gangplank still.
So how do we fix that problem?
Some of it is I think we do a poor job of articulating why those things are important, right? Like, it's the classic kind of why problem. Like, we don't say why that those things are so critical to a healthy, successful Gangplank, right? And so instead it's just seen as, like, shit work, or, like, the thing that, like, I'll never forget, like, kind of talking to Timmis a little bit about music and kind of saying, you know, hey, you know, we really could use somebody to step up in this space. And and at the time, like, his big thing was, like, well, like, what the hell does that even mean, like, music, right? And because it wasn't music, it was studios, right? And so I'd start talking about that so much more than music. I think he got really interested in it, but then he's like, yeah, but now that's, like, too overwhelming. Like, I'm not an art, like, I'm not a physical artist, and I'm not a this, and I'm not a that, and, like, now I feel woefully underqualified to even begin to do that. And I really think, especially in the instance of Gangplank, it's not just a community, but each one of those initiatives is a tiny community within that community. So you've got the community of a city, and then you've got a community of like the building and the space and the people within the city, and then you've got another little subset inside of that that is, you know, an interest, like, you know, am I interested in health? Am I interested in studios, right? And so I think the hardest part about being a leader is how do you get followers, right? Like, how do you build that community? And I think that's where we've really fallen down, is we've not shown people how do you go out and solicit, like, what you're doing and what your vision is to other people to get them interested and get them to help you go where you want to go.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I think the other thing that you said about letting people know what, like, how important some of these other initiatives are to Gangplank is key, because, you know, there are people that are trying to lead initiatives that could use the help that you just mentioned, but we have these other holes that we need to get filled. So I think really focusing on talking about the importance of those roles and functionalities is something that could be really helpful.
Could we do a podcast on each initiative?
I think we already did on some of them. Gangplank Junior we might not have done, but I think the rest of them we've done.
Yep. Okay. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. Thanks for listening to the DangerCast. If you have any suggestions or things you'd like to hear us cover, please email info@gangplankhq.com. Thanks.
It's Gangplank, they're a creative bunch. Come and bring your laptop and drink the fruit punch. With some rum.